From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer. Since September 11th, some Americans have been buying gas masks and firearms, stockpiling antibiotics in preparation for possible future attacks that may well never touch them personally. But recent events are also changing daily life more subtly as Americans search for ways to feel more at ease in turbulent times. NPR's Andy Bowers is traveling through the Midwest, talking to people about their reactions. His first stop is in the Twin Cities of Minnesota.
Many Minnesotans will tell you right off they can't really imagine their state as an obvious terrorist target. The only possible site they bring up is the massive Mall of America just outside Minneapolis, and that has mostly to do with baseless internet rumors. Some merchants say the mall is unusually empty these days, but at least one business here is doing fine. Two floors up from Camp Snoopy and around the corner from the Lake Wobegon store, you'll find the Chapel of Love.
On September 12th, we booked 5 weddings, which is very unusual for us to book that many weddings in one day.
Marianne London runs the Chapel of Love. She says the last-minute bookings have continued to pour in ever since the attacks.
Sometimes it's a military couple, and they're maybe planning a bigger wedding, but he gets orders. And couples that have been together for a long time, maybe engaged for years, and say, what are we waiting for?
London isn't surprised by that attitude. She believes it reflects something a lot of Americans are feeling at the moment.
I think it's just like it's going on all over the country. People are taking hold of their lives, and they're saying, we're in love. We want to do this. We can't count on tomorrow. What are we waiting for? Let's go for it.
One of the most widespread reactions to the attacks has been a return by many people to houses of worship. At St. James Lutheran Church in the Minneapolis suburb of Crystal, Pastor Alan Nagstad has noticed not only a rise in attendance, but new attitudes as well.
What I'm hearing is that just a deeper level of dialogue about what is the meaning of life and what really matters after all. I see people taking relationships more seriously, and that I think also includes their relationship with God, and thinking that material things in and of themselves are not bad, but that ultimate meaning is not to be found in them.
Pastor Nagstad says that lesson has been especially profound after the incredible affluence of the last decade, and he feels the new attitude clashes with calls for Americans to spend more money as a way of helping the economy.
What I notice now is I think people are less likely to imagine that a shopping spree, for example, can substitute for some deeper meaning in life.
Of course, numerous industries have been hurt by a downturn in consumer spending, whether caused by spiritual or financial concerns. But people are still buying things that make them feel better. In a St. Paul convenience store the other night, a woman wrestled with herself before asking the clerk for a pack of cigarettes. "What brand was it I used to smoke?" she said. "Marit? No, Marlboro, that's right." It turns out the woman works at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, which she says has suddenly become a very stressful place. She didn't want to give her name.
I have this great desire to go back to smoking, which is totally irrational. I don't sleep very well. I've gained quite a bit of weight because I'm not sleeping, so I stay up late eating. It's not healthy. Not at all.
Smoking is also more popular at one Minneapolis tobacco shop, at least among the employees. Ellie sits behind the counter, a cigarette constantly in his hand. He's in his 20s, a refugee from Iraq who moved to the U.S. 4 years ago.
Yes, I smoke. I smoke more than any time before because I'm nervous. I mean, I'm not scared, but I'm nervous.
Before the attacks, Ellie used to enjoy going to bars with American friends and that great staple of Minnesota life, fishing. But since September 11th, his car has been torched, and his American friends have made disparaging remarks about Islam, so he doesn't go out much after work.
Mostly when I get off, I stay home. I cannot make no more friends or anything, except my own friends, you know, just Arabic people like me.
So you're sticking with them mostly?
With them, lately, yep. That's what we do. Just drink coffee and just there watch TV, watching the news, mostly.
I don't know if I have a future in America, says Ellie, although he certainly doesn't want to go back to Iraq. Several bar owners in the Twin Cities report that people also seem to be drinking more heavily in recent weeks, although none wanted to say so on tape. When asked about her customers, one proprietor said, "Oh yeah, they're partying down lately." But if some people are finding solace in traditional vices, other Minnesotans have been turning to more wholesome pursuits.
It's the newest one. It's the newest Ringle, anyway.
Yeah.
Ringle generation. It's a little bit different. Colors are brighter and kind of wacky colors, really, but fun.
Well,
Karen Rumsa, owner of Needlework Unlimited in Minneapolis, has seen business spike since the attacks.
Knitting and needlepoint has really had a big resurgence, but the needlepoint, I have noticed that people are buying huge projects, which is a little bit unusual. But people seem to be doing much more nesting, or at least projects that are not as portable.
Rumsa says she's seen a number of customers returning after a long time away from needlecrafts. They don't usually say the attacks rekindled their interest.
However, I really think that that's what's happening, is that people are finding that they're spending now more time at home. They're often in front of the television sets, and they're finding that they want to have a project to work on, something that they can accomplish that makes them feel good about what they're doing and gives them a sense of calm and soothingness, if that's a word.
In fact, there are signs that many Minnesotans are wanting to stay closer to home and family. At the Grand Old Creamery Ice Cream Parlor in St. Paul, Chris Holman says they've been getting some unusual calls in recent weeks.
We have had several inquiries from people calling to see if we actually deliver ice cream from our shop here. I don't know, maybe they're thinking of having some ice cream along with their Domino's pizza.
It's a feeling Chris Holman understands well. He's actually filling in as manager for his wife Crystal, who just gave birth to their second child. In fact, Crystal says the attacks played a role in the birth of their son, Hayden.
The incident happened on the 11th, and I was very, very upset. Cried for 2 weeks straight. And the next thing I knew, the baby showed up 3 weeks early. Then the doctor said me being that upset over what happened probably helped make him come out early.
Chris Holman is on family leave from his job of 2 decades. He's a pilot for a regional airline. But for several reasons, that may not be true much longer.
As it is right now, I don't have a job to go back to after my leave expires.
Which, of course, troubles Holman both in terms of money and his dreams of moving up in his career. But being an airline pilot means you spend a lot of time away from home, and that isn't what Holman wants anymore.
Life's too precious. It's far too precious to be concerned with material things and trying to get ahead in a career and spending 60 hours a week at the office. You know, I can make money doing any job out there, but more important to that is to be with the family.
As we talk, the Holman 7-year-old daughter Hope clings on to her father, which she's been doing constantly since the attacks. She, of course, worries about her father flying airplanes after what she saw on television. But beyond that, it's easy to see why Chris, like many Americans these days, wants to be around more to comfort his daughter.
Sometimes at night I just can't go to bed without both my parents being home, and I sort of sometimes like play with my dolls and think that Bin Laden's there, and then some of my dolls save the world, and sometimes they save the people that were in the towers and the airplanes.
Andy Bowers, NPR News, St. Paul, Minnesota.